Good afternoon, America. Welcome to Mark Levine's Inside Scoop, where we bring you all the news from Washington that the government does not want you to know. Our topic today is right-wing radio, Nazis or fakers. And our guest is Oliver Griswold. Now, Oliver Griswold is a die-hard liberal who risked life, limb, and indigestion by actually going and only taking right-wing media for an entire month. That's right, he gave up the New York Times, he gave up the evening news, he only listened to Fox News, he only listened to right-wing radio for an entire month. And he risked life and limb, and he's here on the Inside Scoop to tell the tale. Now, when I use the heading Nazis or fakers, I'm aware that that's an extreme heading. In fact, I have to tell you from the outset, I'm not a big fan of people who use the term Nazis to explain and describe everything they don't like. I think actually it's quite unfair to the victims of the worst criminals of the 20th century. And yet I have to ask myself, what does it mean when I hear these words coming out of the right-wing media? I'll give you some examples. Rush Limbaugh said this month that the torture in Iraq, quote, looks just like anything you'd see Madonna. Think he believes this? Does he believe it? Well, I would think this is just, you know, excessive rhetoric, you know, people that just like to talk big and everything. But then we get to Jay Severin, another right-wing host, and he takes the next logical step. Jay Severin says, I've got an idea. Let's kill all Muslims. Now, you got to give Jay credit. He doesn't talk about frat parties like Rush, doesn't talk about mass murder in the skies like Michael Savage. No, he's clear and direct. Quote, I've got an idea, let's kill all the Muslims, unquote. Now, put this into context. Just this last week, the Federal Communications Commission, the FCC, fined Howard Stern. Shock jock, I guess. He was the shock jock, not Jay Severin or Michael Savage or Rush Limbaugh, because Howard Stern described in some detail sexual acts without using any dirty words that actually Oprah Winfrey had described before. Howard Stern was fined hundreds of thousands of dollars, and Clear Channel took him off the air. Also at this same time, our American troops in Iraq have censored Iraqi news organizations. We have censored Iraqi newspapers. We have censored Iraqi radio. Why? Because they're using it to incite violence against Americans. Now, whatever you think about that, what do you think Jake Severin's remark does? Let's kill all the Muslims. Now, I know what you're telling me. I know you're saying, Mark, they're not really Nazis. You know, kill all the Muslims, that's just rhetoric. They don't believe it. They're all lying. They're all faking. They're trying to get ratings. Extremist views get ratings. And frankly, I'm inclined to agree with you. I'm inclined to agree with you because if you believed what they said, then you really would believe in genocide. So obviously no one who listens to them believes what they say. Do they? Why do the listeners to Rush Limbaugh say, without thinking, ditto? Ditto, I agree with everything you say, ditto. I'm a ditto head. I don't think, I don't challenge. Everything you say, Rush, is right. Why do they do that? Well, I don't have an answer to this question. I think it's a tough question, but I'm hoping that my guest does. As I said, his name is Oliver Griswold. He's a diehard liberal who risked life, limb, and indigestion to listen only to right-wing media for a month. And in fact, if you go to my website, radioinsidescoop.com, after the show, because I know you want to hear the show, or maybe during the commercials, click on the link there and you'll read Oliver Griswold's hilarious piece of how he descended into the depths of hell and came out. I don't know if he's any saner or not, but I welcome him to the program. Oliver Griswold, thanks for coming on the Inside Scoop.
Thanks for having me, Mark.
Now, let me just give out the number so that people can call you and ask you questions. The number is 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP, or you can send me an email to comment@radioinsidescoop.com. Now, Oliver, I got to ask you, because to me, I mean, what you risked, I know you based what you did on the author of Supersize, the guy that spent 30 days and only ate McDonald's,
right.
And I know he gained 25 pounds and had liver damage and all that kind of stuff, but to me, you took a greater risk. I mean, I would think that after a month of that, you would be sleeping and Ann Coulter would be in your nightmares. I mean, how did you survive this?
Actually, I did descend into nightmares at about the three-week mark. I had a very disturbing dream in which which Neil Cavuto, Fox News personality, right, featured prominently, and that's when I knew that I had to exit this experience pretty quickly.
Did you go the full 30 days? Did you last? Because that's really a marathon. I have trouble, frankly, listening 10 minutes to Rush Limbaugh, and you went 30 days. Was it hard? I mean, did your resolve falter at any point?
It's funny because I started out and I was actually very excited about the experience. As I say in my article, the first day was exciting. It was like going on a trip because I pretty much regulate myself to a 10 minutes a day of right wing news as well, and I sort of felt like an explorer of sorts. But then as the month progressed, I found myself identifying the major themes that the right sort of puts everything. The right puts everything into silos that
okay.
are easily identified.
Tell me what these themes are.
Let's see. There's some major ones that I recorded. The art with the penis and or vagina is bad.
Okay. So sexual art is got to be bad. All
yes,
right.
That's bad.
And yet we have Michael Savage talking about sticking dynamite in their orifices.
Right.
And so it's kind of an interesting mix there. Do you think there's a little envy? Maybe he's not getting any. I mean, why do they talk about sex so much at the same time that they're attacking us for using sex?
It's a very good question. One of the things I noticed right off the bat was that the places that the right is willing to go in their rhetoric are often very closely connected to the types of discourse that we have in this country that they despise.
Right.
So using sex and using advocating violence much of the time, while at the same time decrying the violence that's prevalent in Hollywood movies, and that speaks to a larger theme of basically allowing certain types of debate on the subject while decrying others.
Well, let's be specific, because you mentioned a lot of them in your article.
Yeah.
There's some really good ones here. Let's see. John Kerry, being a lover of terrorists, will offer Osama bin Laden a post in his cabinet.
Right. The list that I provided in my article is sort of taken from as a distillation of a lot of different people. The one that I found quite often, because the abortion debate is discussed 24/7
yeah.
in the right-wing community, is liberals are silly, except when they are killing fetuses, then they are evil before quickly going back to silly. So it sort of depends on how you on which issue you're talking about, but they can't really make up their mind a lot of the time.
I got to just read one more, and it's from your article, and it's my personal favorite. Once Iraq is a steaming, bloody crater of democracy, it will serve as a model for future steaming, bloody craters of democracy all across the Middle East. The brilliant stupidity of that. Who said that? Do you remember?
I don't think anybody said that in particular.
Oh, okay, all right.
That was more like a distillation.
Although the
things, you know, a lot of people came close to that. That was sort of an ironic twist, because none of the right wing is calling Iraq a steaming bloody crater right now. In fact, I was just listening to before the show. I was listening to Rush Limbaugh's guest host. I think his name is Mark Gelling or something, and he spent the first hour of the show literally describing a situation in Iraq that reminded me of the situation outside my window right here in Boulder, Colorado. I was thinking, man, Iraq sounds, according to this broadcast, Iraq is just as pleasant a place to be as my hometown.
The sun is shining.
The
water works. There's no danger when you walk outside the street.
Oh, exactly. And I find it hilarious how the bar keeps getting lowered in Iraq. That last fall I remember reading an article in the National Review about how there were news reports of a riot, a big riot in Baghdad, and one of the National Review commentators said, yes, but there were also people playing tennis a couple blocks away. And just I burst out laughing at the idea that a tennis match somewhere in Baghdad spoke to the great job that we were doing over there.
You know, they never played tennis under Saddam Hussein. Saddam Hussein right. banned tennis because he thought tennis was evil.
Saddam Hussein would throw you in prison for owning a tennis racket.
Absolutely, because a tennis racket is the sign of freedom. You know, talking about lowering the bar, one of the things that I find interesting is we've lowered the bar from they will welcome us with flowers and candy
right.
to, well, they don't all dislike us
right.
to, okay, we torture people, but we don't torture people as bad as Saddam did.
Yeah.
So we're actually doing really good here.
Right.
It's really amazing. Let me give out the numbers again. It's 877-57-SCOOP. Here's your chance to talk to a diehard liberal who actually went into the depths of hell, heard only right-wing media for 30 days, and lived to tell the tale. Again, 877-57-SCOOP. If you like numbers and you hate letters, it's 877-577-2667. Or send an email to comment@radioinsidescoop.com. I guess I want to start by asking you the big question that I've posed on my blog and in this broadcast. And by the way, I just got to thank all my listeners who contribute so much to the blog, and I want to hear from you there too. But the big question is Nazis or fakers? If you take these people at their word, I mean, assuming they believe what they say, dynamite into orifices, let's kill all the Muslims, they are the worst genocidal people of our time. And yet, if you don't take them at their word and you realize they're just lying, you know, for entertainment purposes, why does anyone listen to them at all? I have no answer to these questions, Oliver. Can you help me out?
Okay. I would say that I would agree with you, your comment at the beginning of the show that Nazis is a word that I actually find very uncomfortable.
Right.
I'm very uncomfortable using to describe anybody who's not, didn't advocate or commit the extermination of the Jews in World War II.
Although Jay Severin says, let's kill all the Muslims. He said it on his show.
And I agree that that is absolutely abhorrent. I find that mostly the use or non-use of the word Nazis depends on strategy. I think it's such a polarizing word.
Sure.
And so easy to latch on to for the people who hear it as evidence that liberals are moral relativists.
Right.
I try not to use it. I think there's plenty of words that capture the horror of what these right-wing pundits are standing for.
But the heart of the question is, do they believe their own rhetoric?
Right.
That's the heart of the question. Do you think they do?
I found myself dividing the pundits of the right into three distinct categories. I would say loose categories.
Okay.
Many of them sort of bridge the gaps between these categories. The first one is hacks. I think those are the people who basically receive the Republican National Committee talking points on their desktop in the morning, and they spend the day or whatever slot they fill reading them in
okay.
their from memory. I think those are people most likely to not necessarily believe what they're saying, but they believe in the strategy that these words will further.
So we'll lie about John Kerry. We'll know it's not true, but we'll say it because that'll get more people to hate John Kerry and vote Republican.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
And I actually think sometimes those are the smartest people because they're strategic thinkers and they know that they're appealing to a base. And I think that even let's kill all Muslims, I don't know whether Jay Severin believes that or not. It's an unbelievable thing to have broadcast over the airwaves.
At a time when we censor Iraqi broadcasts saying let's kill all Americans,
the hypocrisy is stunning. But I think these people they work for the more mainstream of the right wing magazines, and while they might the hacks do, and while they might say some off color things, they might not go as far as that because it wasn't in their morning reading.
So the best of the right-wing radio hosts are the hacks. They're the best. Okay,
yeah,
what are the other
they're,
two?
They're the most intelligent.
The most intelligent are the hacks. Okay.
And the biggest sellouts, probably.
Okay, what? Who are two and three?
Yeah, two are the demagogues.
Okay.
They're the ones who are more concerned with provoking a reaction from the left and sort of engaging people on a personal level. I think Bill O'Reilly is the gold standard of the demagogue set. He's engaged in this all-out war with Al Franken, and he conducts himself in such an aggressive and personal. He takes things so personally that you can't help but think that he's really not as concerned with the issues than he is with his own place in whatever right-wing media set.
Okay, but Bill O'Reilly's the worst? I mean, Ann Coulter calling everyone treason? Michael Savage?
I think all of them sort of fall into these categories at different times, and I would say that most of these people would fall into the demagogue set. Although I think O'Reilly is one of those people who you watch and half the time he doesn't even care about the issue. He's arguing about who said what on his program and how the other person's treating him. You know,
he's like a little boy in a sandbox.
Yeah,
he kicks sand in my face. I'm gonna beat him up.
Yeah, exactly. So he is. I think definitely. I think Rush does it too sometimes. The demagogues also like to tell their producers to cut people off.
Right.
I remember a specific instance when O'Reilly had the son of a guy who was killed in the World Trade Center.
Right. I do know about this.
Yeah, who disagreed with him on the U.S. foreign policy after 9/11, and he screamed at him to shut up and then cut off his mic.
Right.
And I think it's just a...
He's such a sweetheart, Bill O'Reilly.
He's just
a guy you want to cuddle, you know?
Upstanding gentleman. Yes.
Okay, let's go to Category 3. Then I'm going to get to a break and take your calls. Go ahead.
Category 3 is actually probably the easiest to explain, and I would say that that's where they're sort of fall into your first category, the true believers.
Okay.
And they feel, sort of in the current conversation that we're having, that Islam is evil, probably just as they felt that communism was evil and that the labor movement is evil. And they basically are so entrenched in the idea that America is the only way and the only nation that matters. And
I guess I'll throw in a quick caveat. I do believe that communism as practiced by the Soviet Union was pretty evil.
I will actually agree with that, with you on that too.
Okay.
But I
know what you're saying. That they're saying that they're sort of one-minded.
Right.
We're always right and they're always wrong.
Yeah.
Maybe the General Boykin would be a good one. He's the one that said that this was a crusade to Christianize the lands. He sounds to me like the flip side of Osama bin Laden, who
right.
wants to Islamize everybody.
Yeah, I think Jerry Falwell would fall into this category, and I think that sometimes it's hard to tell, as your question makes clear, because. I think that when the language is so blunt, coming from the right wing, and it is extremely blunt and aggressive, that it's really hard to tell who the true believers are and who the hacks are.
Well, my view is that, like Ann Coulter, she's a demagogue who pretends to be a true believer.
I completely agree.
Because
with you.
She's some, you know, when she says, as a true believer would say, let's go in there, kill all their leaders, convert them to Christianity,
right.
She says it with like a little smile on her face, like,
yeah.
I don't believe this, but I like throwing out these flames and watching how they burn. I'll
call
all liberals treason. Her, she's so extreme that she's almost self-mocking.
And all of her most outrageous pronouncements, like I wish that Timothy McVeigh would walk into the New York Times building,
right.
Are undercut by the fact that she never lets up. I mean, she's one of those people who doesn't. She's so single-minded that you can tell it's sort of an act. She never listens. I mean, to Bill O'Reilly's credit, he'll listen sometimes.
Right.
To
respond.
Rush Limbaugh's credit, he'll actually pause while someone speaks before he cuts them off. Ann Coulter, man, she is just, I watch her on TV And it's like watching a plastic person just with a like an organ grinder.
Well, I want to hear when we get back from the break if you, any nightmares you've had about Ann Coulter, because I got a few fantasies myself. But we're going to get back to that. If you want to call in and discuss right-wing radio, right-wing media with myself and Oliver Griswold, please do. The number is 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP. If you like the numbers and not the letters, it's 877-577-2667. It's a toll-free call. Or send an email to comment@radioinsidescoop.com. And we'll be back with more of the Inside Scoop and Oliver Griswold, who went into right-wing hell and came out to survive, right after these messages.
Powers that be, both political and corporate, are expert at fooling themselves while mistakenly thinking that they're also fooling us. The latest culprits in this fool's game are the barons of cable television. Lobbyists for such outfits as Time Warner, Cablevision, and Cox rammed a deregulation law through Congress in 1997 that allows them to set their own rates. Trust us, they said at the time, promising that the elixir of unregulated competition would magically cause our monthly cable charges to fall. Like rubes at their first medicine show, Congress swallowed this tonic of lies, and now you and I are stuck with an unregulated cable TV monopoly in each of our towns that, far from lowering our rates, has jacked up our monthly bills by 40% in just 6 years. Well, yes, say the cable giants, but we now give you more channels than before. Who do they think they're fooling? Yes, we get more channels, but they show the same old junk, including repeats of repeats and dozens of channels we never requested and never watch. Indeed, we pay for about 63 channels, but mostly watch about 8. Well, yes, say the giants again, still believing they're fooling us, but the fees we pay for programming are up too, so we're being forced to raise our rates. Hey, flim-flam man, in many cases, you are the programmer. For example, Time Warner owns CNN, TBS, TNT, Cartoon Network, and many others, so it's paying itself for the higher program costs. Besides, the cost of all the programs you get on cable is only about $7 of your monthly cable bill, which now averages nearly $37. Well, yes, say the giants, trying one more trick on us, but we need higher rates to survive. Survive? Your profit margins are running above 30%, about three times the average of other industries. This is Jim Hightower saying, to fight this tomfoolery, call Consumers Union, 202-462-6262.
It's difficult enough to work your way through this jungle called life every day without having to carry an 800-pound gorilla of high-interest student loans around with you. So just do what over 300,000 people have already done and call College Loan Corporation at 1-800-2-COLLEGE. College Loan Corporation will gladly give you the advice you need while helping you look into interest rates as low as 2.63%, the lowest federal rates in 40 years. 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
Toyota owners, tired of paying high gas prices? Well, how about paying nothing? That's right. Toyota is giving away free gas for a year to 12 lucky winners. Plus, 1,000 more will win $50 fill-ups. Just come into your participating Toyota dealer to enter the sweepstakes. You'll get the very best competitively priced service performed by Toyota-trained technicians using genuine Toyota parts. Come in today and ask about our May tire and service offers.
No purchase necessary. Ends May 31st, 2004. Void or prohibited. Open to legal U.S. residents 18 or older with valid driver's license only. Void in Hawaii. Official rules at Toyota.com/owners.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, bringing you all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. And today, we're discussing right-wing media, right-wing radio. Are they Nazis or are they fakers? And I got to tell you, when I started using that term, I guess there was a little vicarious thrill. I'm not someone who ever calls anyone Nazis. And yet, I guess after reading Ann Coulter for too long, I felt like, well, if she says that we're all involved in treason, then I got to throw back the same kind of rhetoric. I don't know. I think I may have gone too far, but my guest is Oliver Griswold, who's written a really amusing article that you can get from my website at RadioInsideScoop.com. It clicks right to his blog. Apparently the whole thing was his girlfriend's idea. He writes, my girlfriend had an idea that required a real struggle, a complete lifestyle change with the potential to ruin personal relationships, trash my psyche, turn my whole world not just upside down but inside out and backwards. In other words, a really great bad idea. And that bad idea was to only listen to right-wing media for 30 days. And yet he lived to tell the tale and to come on my show, and I appreciate that. Oliver, I don't know how you, did you have, like, stomach problems? Were there physical manifestations? How did you survive this?
The biggest physical manifestation, sorry, was the sleep, interruption of sleep.
Did you wake up screaming?
I think it was less that than insomnia. I think when you listen to people, and I would say this probably goes for conservatives who would try this too, but when you listen to people who disagree with you and you get your entire news of the world all day, every day, from people who you have major problems with both their positions and their style, then your brain goes on overdrive with all sorts of, you know, refutations and arguments, and it doesn't stop when you go to bed.
Let me get to someone who disagrees with you. He's one of my favorite commentators. His name is Ben, and I guess he's my favorite because he's my most reliable conservative listener, and I always appreciate when you listen to my show, Ben, and when you bring it on, and boy, did he bring it on in this email. And by the way, if you want to bring it on, the number is 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP, or email to comment at radioinsidescoop.com. Here's the comment from Ben. Sends an email. Ben writes, if I didn't know any better, I would think you two were five-year-olds that take everything literally. I heard him say, let's kill all Muslims. He wasn't serious. He was making a point. Come on, this is ridiculous. I'm going to start taking everything you say exactly as you say it and not let my education tell me the reasoning behind it. I could get you saying close to the same things. I'm beginning to think Harvard is no better than a state school. I went to Harvard, so Ben's attacking that too. Well, I don't know. How do you respond to someone like Ben?
I think that it's actually less the, in my opinion, it's less the person saying it than the effect on the listener. And
okay.
I'm obviously a First Amendment devotee.
Oh, I wouldn't censor any of this.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. And I just worry that it's the people who don't see the irony behind it, as Ben obviously does, that will act on this sort of thing. And frankly, I think that that has been borne out on occasion. I think that the death threats that Tom Daschle received after...
Yep.
After Rush started calling him El Diablo.
Beware of the ditto heads. There should be a sign, a warning. Beware of the ditto heads.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's where the real danger comes in with hate speech and discussions advocating genocide, is that there are masses of people out there who do take this stuff seriously and do subscribe to this worldview. And I think, you know, if you went to a white power meeting, I think you would meet some of the people who are tuning into Michael Savage every week.
But, you know, it's not just that. It's not just that. I talk all the time with conservatives. In fact, I just came back from a talk radio convention, which I'll talk a little bit about later in the hour. And I think that it is clear, actually, they don't believe the ferociousness of their rhetoric. And so, actually, I agree with Ben. They're not Nazis. They're fakers.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people out there in middle America, I talk with them, too. I talk with them on airplanes. I debate conservatives, and I talk with a couple hundred kids from across the nation twice a week from all over. And some of them really believe that Rush is telling the truth. They
right.
actually believe that Rush believes what he's saying. Now, all of us know, and particularly all of us radio hosts know, that Rush is telling everything tongue-in-cheek.
Right.
Even Rush will say at these talk show conventions, I'm just an entertainer. I say what I do to get ratings. You know, don't take me too seriously. But people do take him seriously. He doesn't say it on the air. And I think actually more people believe Rush is real than believe that wrestling is real. It's the same thing. I mean, I guess some people believe wrestling is real. Even more people believe Rush is real. And then you have members of Congress, Republican members of Congress, and they're actually citing Rush, who's saying a lie or something extreme. But here's the trick. Even though Rush, at least at the beginning, and anyone will tell you this in radio, knew that what he was saying was you know, a load of crock, and he was just saying it to get ratings, I think he actually is starting to believe it. As he goes into his rhetoric more and more and more, and what begins as a joke, you know, excellence in broadcasting and all that kind of stuff, he actually starts to believe it. You know, throw all the drug users in jail, except for me. My drugs don't matter. Get out of my privacy.
Right.
And I guess it reminds me, and I've told this story once before, of a paper I did a long time ago on Joe McCarthy in the press. Joe McCarthy, a lot of people don't know this, did not originally plan his rhetoric about communists and the government. He wasn't really exercised about that very much. He originally in his campaign was going to run on the St. Lawrence Seaway, why it needed to be widened to help bring more ships to his home state of Wisconsin. And one of his aides said, you know what, I don't think that's sexy enough. Why don't we try communists in government? And McCarthy said, you know, that sounds like a good idea. This, by the way, is undisputed. No one disputes that this happened. And that day, while in Wheeling, West Virginia, he waved his laundry list around and said, I've got a list here of 250 communists in the American government. But the press believed him.
Right.
The people believed him. And once they believed what he said, then he had to backtrack. He had to, well, yeah, of course he had it because he saw it was a good campaign issue. People weren't taking it as a joke. And then he had to defend everything he said. And I think any historian will tell you by the time he died, an alcoholic, broken man, he actually did believe that, you know, Truman was a communist, that there were widespread communists in government, you know, the Democrats were all evil, all this kind of stuff. I think he actually did believe it and supported wrecking people's lives. So you got to watch it when you have these, you know, the hacks and the demagogues, because they can become true believers.
Oh, I completely agree with you, and I would also say that especially a pundit becomes as successful as Rush has, he sort of paves the way for you know, the whole chattering class that fills in behind Rush, the sort of the B-grade,
sure,
conservative radio hosts, who I actually think are probably more true believers.
I see.
than Rush is. I think Rush, you know, it's almost like the Eminem story. I don't think Eminem believes that he should, you know, he should kill our girlfriends and kill homeless people. I mean, gay people and stuff.
Right.
But I think that it paves the way for more voices to gain a certain amount of stature that actually do believe that kind of stuff.
Absolutely. I mean, again, how ironic that the same conservatives that are decrying rap music, which talks about sex and violence,
right,
are talking about sex and violence.
Oh, exactly. I think Michael Savage is one of those B-grade people that I watch, and I listened to that clip where he told the woman who called, a man or woman who called in, that he hoped they would get AIDS and die, that they were homosexual, and that he hoped they would die.
Do you think he believed it when he said it? Is this his idea of a joke? Is this how conservatives joke?
I think you sort of have to listen, as you were saying, for that little twinkle sometimes, that little touch of irony. Or what's that guy's name on MSNBC? Joe Scarborough.
Yeah. Now, he was a congressman. I actually met Joe Scarborough when I worked in Congress.
Yeah. Joe Scarborough is one of those people that his arguments are so shallow, so one-dimensional, when I watch him, that you suspect right off the bat that he's simply trying to maintain a certain momentum with the conservative base.
I think that's exactly right.
I think it's exactly right
about Joe Scarborough. I don't think he's as hateful as he pretends to be.
No, I don't think so either. But I think Michael Savage might just be as hateful. I think Michael Savage personally, and this, I'll get into some ad hominem attacks with you.
Please do.
I think he has a screw loose. You know, a couple weeks ago, he was on stage in California, dressed in robes. He drove a Cadillac on stage or something, in front of 7,000 of his fans, which is scary enough.
It's very scary.
He was dressed in Arabic style robes with a fake suicide bomb rig attached to him.
That's really weird.
When I read that, I sort of stopped and I said, this man, to get up in front of 7,000 people with a suicide bomb, you know,
someone could shoot at him. You'd think.
I just sort of thought this guy, he might be crazy.
Yeah, well,
that's
a good example. Again, let me give out the numbers. It's 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP, or you can send an email to comment@radioinsidescoop.com, and we'll be back with Oliver Griswold discussing right-wing radio and do people really believe it. And let's hear from you. Are they Nazis? Are they fakers? What do you think? 877-57-SCOOP. We'll be back with more right after this.
Workers Independent News Service. I'm John Anderson.
And I'm Sarah Turner. In a country where being a union activist is like carrying a tombstone on your back, more than 4,000 workers have been on strike for almost a month at Ecopetrol, the Colombian government's national oil company. Colombian President Uribe declared the job action illegal, and at least 100 oil workers have been fired for participating in the strike. Union members are angry over the Colombian government's attempts to rewrite and privatize oil contracts, awarding multinational corporations to the detriment of Colombia's national resources.
Many of the Great Plains and Great Lakes states were socked with repeated rounds of heavy thunderstorms this weekend. While such weather typically means lots of downed power and phone lines, SBC technicians in Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, Wisconsin, Michigan, Oklahoma, and Texas weathered the storms on picket lines. Technicians in those states and six others served by SBC have been on strike since Friday. The pickets are up 24 hours a day. In the pouring rain late Saturday night, a hearty band of techs kept a vigil at the SBC office in downtown Madison, Wisconsin. SBC wants its technicians to take wage and benefit concessions that would get progressively larger with each year of the proposed five-year contract, but Charles Brown, an installer repairman with Local 4630 of the Communications Workers of America, says such sacrifices are not being spread around.
When your CEO is paid $19.5 million a year and his compensation was increased by 93%, over last year to this year. You're not being treated fairly.
The strike ends at 12:01 tomorrow morning. In Wisconsin alone, a backlog of several thousand trouble calls built up over the weekend as lightly trained managers moonlighting as repair techs were overwhelmed by storm damage.
Workers in the Middle Eastern state of Qatar get a break from their emir. A decree issued by the government will give workers the right to unionize and strike against their employer, replacing the previous joint worker and employer committees. The emir declared in an official statement that the new labor laws would also ban anyone under 16 years of age from working, set an 8-hour workday, and give women a paid 50-day maternity leave. Qatari workers will have to wait 6 months for the new laws to take effect.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. The latest employment figures show an uptick in job growth, but there's a lot of ground to cover before economists can claim a nationwide job market recovery is underway. The Economic Policy Institute notes 35 states still have fewer jobs now than they did at the start of the most recent recession in 2001. 42 states still have unemployment rates higher than they did back then. And in 49 states, job growth has failed to keep up with expansion in the working age population.
You've been listening to WINS, the Workers' Independent News Service. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. It's your host, Mark Levine. We're discussing right-wing radio, right-wing media. Are they Nazis? Are they fakers? Do they really believe the extremes that they say that they do? And if not, why does anybody listen to them? The numbers are 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP. We appreciate your calls. Or you can send an email to comment@radioinsidescoop.com. And I got a couple of comments that I want to read to you, Oliver, and see what you think. My guest, Oliver Griswold, actually listened to right-wing media for 30 whole days and apparently lived to tell the tale. One is a comment from Sheila in Pittsburgh, and she writes, The condition Oliver is describing is exactly the mentality of Nazi Germany and Stalinist Russia. There were the party hardliners, the hacks and the hangers-on, who just go along with the movement to have a place. I don't see any difference with that and the right-wing cult in America. And then I got Gordon from Smith Creek, Michigan, and he writes, "Hi, sadly, these right-wing pundits are seemingly fulfilling a niche in our society that craves lower vibratory thinking, creating common enemies, and mainly spreading fear. It's a programming and propaganda ploy that has survived as long as we have had the term mass communication and caters to the weakness of the minds and senses of the population, and in America today is doing quite well. Maybe," Gordon writes, "in defeating the Nazis in World War II, part of the soul of America now contains the seeds of Nazism. Why then is this right-wing pseudo-Nazi rhetoric so successful market-wise? I think Limbaugh's drug abuse is a symptom of a tortured mind. He plays suicide, at least subliminally." Well, those are interesting comments. What's your comment on my comments, Oliver?
I think those are very good comments. I love the lower vibratory thinking.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to use that.
Go right ahead. I'm sure Gordon would appreciate it.
Gordon doesn't mind. But I think that if you look at the historical sort of from the historical perspective, you will see that it does bear some traits in common with Nazism, and I think that the mass communication as a propaganda tool is a dangerous thing, very dangerous thing, and I think we are seeing a rise in it.
Part of it, I think, is the simplicity.
Mm-hmm.
It's the, you know, all liberals are bad, all liberals are evil. And, you know, I have not said, at least I don't think I've said, all conservatives are evil. I've made fun of them on my show, that's true, but I actually welcome them on my show. I welcome their disagreement. And indeed, there's some that I praise, people like John McCain. Mm-hmm. But it's this idea of sort of groupthink. And in fact, one of the things I want to explore with you is some of these other themes, if you will. You mentioned the theme, sort of anti-sex and art theme. What are some of the other themes of right-wing radio? And before you answer, let me give out the numbers again. It's 877-57-SCOOP. What are some of the themes of right-wing radio?
Oh, there are so many that, that you could harp on.
Well, give us a few.
I think that the anti-immigration is a huge one.
Okay.
Anti-environmentalism.
Okay.
It's all anti.
Right.
Anti-liberal is obviously pervades everything. And it's probably the most oft mentioned theme. I think that a lot of them are peculiar because they seem sort of self-defeating, and they're anti at the cost of some very seemingly sensible ideas. I mean, I think that if a closer look was taken at all into the anti-immigration rhetoric, that these people, and this sort of speaks to the fact that they're faking, would see that without allowing, you know, foreigners into America, we would run out of people to do the jobs that obviously Rush doesn't want to do.
Why do I suspect that Michael Savage or Rush Limbaugh has an El Salvadoran woman cleaning their home that is an illegal immigrant and they don't ask any questions? I'm just guessing. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to out them here, but I'd put money on it.
Right. The big one for Rush is the environmental wackos.
Right.
He loves to talk about environmental wackos, and I felt many times over the month like calling in and asking him if he truly wished for America's children to be drinking arsenic in the water and mercury,
and if so, would he like to drink this glass of water that we've prepared for him?
Yeah, exactly. Or would he like to see, is this hope for America's children a future of asthma related illnesses?
You know, while we're on the subject of Rush, I got to ask because, like I said, I usually can't stand more than about 10 minutes. You listened to him for 30 days, right? Or most of that 30 days?
Yeah, most of the time. Whenever I got in the car, instead of listening to Bob Edwards, I listen to Rush.
God help you. Let me ask you, did he talk about drug use? Because Rush Limbaugh used to want to throw all the bastards in jail for drug use. My guess is that rhetoric, above all, he's probably toned down a little. Is that fair?
I think it is fair, but he does talk about his case in particular, but now it's gone from taking responsibility, as he did on that one show before he went into his 30-day minimal rehab.
Right.
And now he talks about the court case and how he's being demonized and how the prosecutors
right.
are after him.
He's being demonized for being accused of drug use when we have a third of the people in our jails
right.
are in jail for nonviolent drug use. Our right. president won't say whether or not he did cocaine. But see, George Bush shouldn't be punished for drug use.
Right.
Rush Limbaugh should be punished for drug use because they're not poor and they're not black. So right. they don't deserve to be punished for drug use. Hey, let me go to the phones if I could. Again, the number is 877-57-SCOOP. I invite you to join in this discussion. Are right-wingers Nazis or fakers or something else? Caller, you're on the air with Mark Levine and Oliver Griswold. How are you?
Fine.
What's your first name and where are you from?
Ed from New York.
Okay, Ed.
All right. First of all, you asked the question as to why do people listen? I have friends who listen to right-wing radio who are not particularly right-wing. And they end up believing some of the stuff. It is shocking to me how much that they believe.
Yeah.
But here's the question that I'd like to ask you and to ask Mr. Griswold, and that is this. Should liberals do the same thing? Should they be go way out on a limb and say outrageous, silly, stupid things?
You know, that is a great question. I got to tell you, in preparing for this show, I was like, do I want to use the term Nazis? I mean, that is outrageous. And yet I was trying to give as an example of the kinds of things they do. And, you know, I think sometimes they take the words. It's a tough question, and I'll give it to Oliver in a second. But just to answer your question from my perspective, Ed, it's really tough. You know, you have Ann Coulter calling all liberals treasonous, and then you have people in the Bush administration who actually turn over a CIA spy for their political reasons, which is treason. And so I think they try to take these horrible words, take the rhetoric out of it, so that we say that the right wing is abhorrent or horrible or abuse. Then it's like, oh, well, no one will listen because they're using words like treason and Nazis and things like that. So I don't know. I kind of think we're damned if we do, damned if we don't. I don't have an easy answer, but I want to hear what Oliver's position is.
Well,
Oliver?
I think that the one of the hallmarks of the country's move to the right since the 80s and continuing today is that the right does a great job of embracing the people who, or at least tolerating, but sometimes embracing the people who say these things. I mean, they're not telling Michael Savage to shut up. And the only time I think I've heard of a sort of censorship of a voice within the right is when the National Review, I think it was National Review, fired Ann Coulter for saying that we should kill all the Muslims and convert them all, or invade the Muslim countries and convert them all to Christianity.
Right, kill their leaders and convert them all to Christianity.
Right, kill their leaders, that's right. And I think that that tolerance and that embrace of the sort of fringe elements of the right, which is growing, every day, is a successful formula for creating a monolithic movement.
Okay, so answer Ed's question then, Oliver. Do you think liberals should do the same? We can use extreme rhetoric. I call them Nazis today, somewhat
yep.
tongue-in-cheek, just like they do.
Right.
Should I do that? Should liberals appropriate their rhetoric? What do you think?
I think it's a hard question to answer because I think that what liberals need to do is stick to their own, what they're comfortable saying, but not. I think the, for instance, me at the beginning of the show, I'm not comfortable using the word Nazis,
right.
And I know that some people on the left are. I would say that a lot of the anti-war rhetoric on the mall in Washington
right.
when I went to those rallies, they were very comfortable using the term Nazis.
Well,
and
are we as bad as they are then?
No, I don't think I think at this point we're in a desperate situation, and I think that it's up to the individual to say what they believe is okay, but also not, for instance, not tell Michael Moore to tone it down a little bit. The instinct for the left to eat their own, the center left specifically, to eat their own and say you shouldn't be saying this is a losing strategy.
No.
I think you don't have to say the words, but you also don't have to say, okay, we should be a little more decent about this.
Hey, Ed, I want to thank you for your call and go to another caller. Caller, you're on the line with Mark Levine and Oliver Griswold. What's your view on all this?
This is Adolf from Wisconsin.
Oh, no.
And I think you calling these right-wing pundits Nazis is an affront to all good Nazis everywhere. We just want to protect the fatherland.
Okay. I hear you. Okay, I hear you. Thank you very much for your call. Let me go to another caller. Caller, you're on the air with Mark Levine and Oliver.
This is Ed from New York again. I got cut off, but I tell you, Osama, he really has some interesting ideas.
He does, and he calls in my show a lot, and frankly, sometimes he makes more sense than some of the things I hear from Michael Savage. But
let me tell you what I wanted to say to Mr. Oliver, and I don't remember.
Oliver Griswold's his name.
All right, Mr. Griswold, I just think liberals need to fight fire with fire. I think they need to say as many outrageous things as conservatives do, and it's like a little boy facing a bully in his class. I think until you stand up to that bully will continue to pick on the little boy and continue to pick on him. Liberals will fight fire with fire, I believe the conservatives will tone down what they have to say. Those are my thoughts.
Thanks very much for your call, Ed. I appreciate that. We've got to take one more break, and when we come back, we're going to wrap up this discussion. I don't know that we resolve the issue of whether right-wing radio is Nazis or fakers, but I think we're starting to understand a little bit more why they do what they do. Again, you know, maybe we liberals don't have all the easy answers. Maybe that's why we understand the world a bit better. We'll be back with more of the Inside Scoop right after this. Again, if you want to call in, the number is 877-57-SCOOP.
Is anything going to be real in our world, or is everything to be simulated reality created by profit-seeking corporations? Already we have Disneyland's plastic imitations of quaint European villages. We have dairy creamers that contain no cream and don't come from dairies. We have pets that are not actual animals but pre-programmed robots. We have kids playing baseball on handheld computers instead of out on a baseball field. And now, even the small sensory joys in our lives are no longer real, but instead are synthetic replications. Take the pleasure of buying a new car and inhaling that new car smell. Is it real or is it nuance? Cadillac has revealed that it now imbues each of its vehicles with an artificial scent called Nuance that was created in a chemistry lab by a company that specializes in, quote, aroma quality management. Leather seats? No need to go to that expense, for the company can make a plastic covering that, it claims, feels and smells more like leather than leather. That's only the start of fake fragrances in automobiles. An executive of this smell-simulating company says, "We believe there is growth potential in people wanting to be in this big, burly SUV with rich walnut, and they want it to smell like wood." So, now they've got a wood perfume for SUVs, which is necessary since even real wood paneling is lacquered and doesn't have an actual wood smell. Then there's a car's sound. Remember the great sensual rumble of old Fords? Well, now they're back. Not for real, but thanks to an artificial sound system. Ford used computers and focus groups to come up with a classic rumbling sound, and then it hired a company to install a system of resonators, so Ford's new pickup trucks artificially rumble like an old V8. This is Jim Hightower saying, in the brave new world of marketing, no need to experience reality, just fake it.
It's the stick it where it hurts to feel well patch. Works in a hurry to feel well patch. Lasts a long time to feel well. Well patch, it brings you back to well patch.
Is pain keeping you from feeling well? Try the immediate, long-lasting pain relief of well patch. Well patch comes in a full line of pain-relieving patches that soothes your specific pain. For backache, arthritis, muscle pain, or stiff neck, put on a well patch.
Well patch, it brings you back to well patch.
Great news from Viagra Sildenafil Citrate. Now there's a card that can get you Viagra for free. Introducing the Value Card for Viagra. With it, every time you fill 6 eligible prescriptions, you'll get the next one completely free. There's no other Viagra, and there's no other offer like this. To get your card, ask your pharmacist or healthcare provider, or go to Viagra.com/card. See the value again and again with the Value Card for Viagra. Go to Viagra.com/card today. Offer may not be available in all areas.
We're back here on the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, with my guest, Oliver Griswold. We've been discussing this hour. Oliver, who actually went and heard right-wing media exclusively for 30 days straight, and this diehard liberal managed to survive. I don't know how he did it. I do want to read an email real quick, if I can, from Mary. Mary writes, "Hi, Mark. Just back from Europe, and I'm happy to report that the French still like us. They just can't stomach Bush. My money says Joe Scarborough killed his office assistant and that the Gary Condit Chandra Levy story was hyped to cover it." Wow, that's extreme. "Scarborough is a Jeb Bush pal, and there were lots of strange goings on with an incompetent coroner and then a big Bush contributor being named in his place to further obfuscate the truth about her death. These people are a mighty machine." Mary writes, "I truly think there is a mindset that just cannot help itself from reaching very selfish conclusions when dished propaganda that has a hate taint. If they happen to be verbal, they are quite able to rally others to follow them. I think this means something like lower vibratory thinking, doesn't it? Remember the right wing years ago," Mary writes, "lifted passages straight from Mein Kampf, substituting liberal for Jew. They adopted the word homeland very much the same way Hitler and Hess settled on its use. These radio hacks actually admire the Nazis." Well, Mary, those are some pretty strong words. Oliver, your comment.
Well, honestly, that's the kind of email that I have to refrain myself from dismissing out of hand in an effort not to shut down a person who could be a valuable member of the sort of left wing movement, I guess.
Language. It is. You know, and some of it's true. There's no question that, Homeland, to me, I remember when they first started using it, the part of Homeland Security, it really bothered me. It did sound a Nazi-esque type thing.
Yeah. The conspiracies, I think, are the office assistant and that kind of stuff, I'm willing to just say that, you know, I think that sort of, that's defeatist as far as concentrating on the overall issues, which are much more dangerous than looking at little instances, whether or not they might have any credence, or whether or not you might lend them any credence.
Okay, Oliver, we only got about 1 minute left. I want to very quickly read. Ben sent another comment. Ben, my conservative friend here always writes in. He writes, "What about the woman at the pro-choice with the sign, Barbara Bush should have had an abortion?" Now, that's a literal statement. Here we have women in our country wanting the president dead. How can you explain that? It's not serious. Liberals do the same thing. Let me agree with you, Ben. There are definitely liberals that use very extreme rhetoric. I think the point is that those liberals, like the woman at the pro-choice rally, she's at a rally. She's a woman. And people like Mary who wrote in, these are people that aren't on the radio. They're not in charge of the media. And, yeah, they say some pretty extreme things. My point is that in the media, you have people actually in the media saying these extreme things, and they almost exclusively are on the right. And that the liberals who are doing these kinds of things are individuals. They're not in the media. I got a caller on the line, but I'm sorry, caller. We only got a minute left, and I don't have time to take your call, but I hope you call in again. Oliver, you were a terrific guest. This hour really flew. Thanks very much for coming on the Inside Scoop.
Thanks so much, Mark.
Listen, tune in tomorrow and the next week. We've got a great schedule up for you. Tomorrow is Election Tuesday, where I debate all things Kerry and Bush and related to the election. My guest will be Brian Stibel, conservative talk show host from Albuquerque, New Mexico. I appear on his show every Tuesday. Now he's coming back with revenge. We'll have quite a debate on air. Then Wednesday is a really great guest. It's Congressman Jim Turner. He's the ranking Democrat on the Homeland Security Committee, the most powerful Democrat watching our Homeland Security, and the topic is be afraid, be very afraid. You need to know what the Republican Congress is doing or not doing in regards to Homeland Security. Thursday, we got a great show on corporations, how it is that shareholders really don't control them. Do you know how they work? Listen in to the Inside Scoop. We'll let you know. Hey, I know I got lines filled with callers, but we just don't have time. You should have called in earlier. I tell people, call in early in the broadcast. You'll have a better chance of being on air. So I'm sorry, callers. We won't get to you. I hope you'll call in the Inside Scoop again. And tune in tomorrow for another edition of The Inside Scoop. This is Mark Levine, signing off.